Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
As well as a few enemies, scoffers, skeptics, atheists, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And of course, all you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. I'm Tim Brown, editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com. I'm filling in for Bradley today, coming from the bunker in the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina. And you are in for a treat today. I want you to call your friends, get them online, and get them listening to Sons of Liberty Radio today, because we're going to have a very special guest who has some tremendous insight into probably the biggest scandal of the Obama administration, and that concerns some of our fallen in Extortion 17. So hang on with us to the second segment, and we're going to bring on Don Brown, and he's going to share some of his insights through the documents that he's gone through concerning Extortion 17. You can find us online at sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Bradley has just revamped the site over there, so you want to take a look at that, sonsoflibertyradio.com, and also sonsoflibertymedia.com. That's our news outlet, sonsoflibertymedia.com. You can also follow Bradley on Facebook at Bradley, that's Bradley double E, Dean on Facebook. You can also catch us on Sons of Liberty Radio on Facebook and Sons of Liberty Media on Facebook. Now, jumping over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, I just posted an article. It's just amazing to me what some of these federal judges, first of all, will be taking on, and second of all, what the people allow them to take on. They have a very limited scope within the Constitution of things that they can judge on. But this particular one is concerning the Second Amendment. A federal court has ruled the Second Amendment, exercising your Second Amendment right, is reason for cops to detain you. Yes, you heard me right. For exercising a right that the government is not supposed to have a hand in, namely the Second Amendment, which is not to be infringed, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, if you are bearing arms, that is a rock. That is, in this federal court's opinion, a reason for a police officer to detain you. You're not doing anything illegal. You're just keeping bearing arms. And it goes back to a about a year-old case in Michigan, where in the state of Michigan, it is actually legal to open carry. And you want to check that out at sonsoflibertymedia.com. Also, Clinton Foundation whistleblower threatened with legal action. And the interesting thing is they're talking about using contributions to go after this lady for blowing the whistle on the Clinton Foundation. Check that out at sonsoflibertymedia.com. Obama, other advanced nations don't have mass violence. Now, you realize he has taken this situation in Charleston, and like Sandy Hook, and like any of these kinds of incidents where somebody goes in and they kill a lot of people, or they attempt to kill a lot of people, they try to use it to push their gun confiscation agenda. It's not gun control. It's gun confiscation, because there is no law that will stop until they have all guns out of the hands of law-abiding people. Ask them where it ends. What's it? When is there enough laws? There is no law that stops a criminal from doing what he wants to do. There just isn't. And if you think so, you need to wake up. That's just not the real world. Also, at sonsoflibertymedia.com, it's not that liberals are ignorant. They just don't know a lot of things that aren't, or they just know a lot of things that aren't so. That was a quote from Ronald Reagan. That's a new article that's up as well. You want to check that out. Trans Whatever by Matt Barber on sonsoflibertymedia.com. I got to tell you, while I appreciate my brothers going to the fight and some of these things, I am just about sick of hearing about wedding cakes and the crazy way the mentally ill people are being, you know, brought up to the stage and allowed to be given a voice, whether it's a Bruce Jenner or this lady from the NAACP or whoever it is. These people are mentally ill. In our history, we used to deal with them as either in one case mentally ill or in another case as criminal. And we used to deal with them accordingly. And now it's, we don't want to hurt their feelings. We want to encourage them, and they're courageous and brave. No, they're not. They have mental problems, and that's a result of the fact that they've rejected their creator, Romans 1. That's the reason they have those problems. They cannot be content in being made in the image of God and how God has designed them. They want to war against that, and so they war against God. Guess what? God's going to turn them over to that stuff, and you see it. They think they can change their bodies. They think they can change their ethnicity, and the list goes on. I mean, now we even have these things called trans-abled, people who don't feel normal unless they're missing limbs, they're deaf, they're blind, or whatever, and they're actually going to the extremes of cutting those things off. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Lindsey Williams, Martin Armstrong, and Alex Jones all warn about what may be coming in the fall of 2015, and we've had several articles dealing with what is coming up in the fall. Some of those things we know for certain will happen, but then there's also things that are tied to that over the past couple of years that we've seen, and there's a trend that's growing in that as well. America the Confused. Apparently you can grow up and be anything you want to be, and I mean anything, and this goes back to these mentally ill people and what they're engaging in. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. 300 Christians gather together to combat the Antichrist attack against Christianity. Here are some people who are standing in opposition to those who want to redefine the family, redefine marriage, adopt a family that is based upon sodomy, something that God calls an abomination. And here are some people out in Rome. They took a stand and they said, no, this is not the way God has designed these things, and good for them. God bless them for what they do. The Culling of Humanity, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Obama will face major embarrassment as Iraq's Shiite-controlled government plans to execute 7,000 Sunnis in Iraq. And also today at SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, Michelle Oh sees herself in British Muslim women. Don't know how that really works out. I'm not going to even go down the road of the speculation that she's not really a woman. I'm not going to go there. But the woman had rejected previously to wear a hijab, and she is one who has no love for our country. That should be very clear to anybody who's been paying attention. Also, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, while Obama seeks to disarm America, left-wingers have engaged in more terrorism in America than anyone else. I want you to hang on through the break. Don Brown will join us on the other side. Stay with us.
As you listen to the show today, you're probably thinking, how can I be a part of changing culture and restoring this country for our posterity? Well, we at the Sons of Liberty have an answer for you. Pick up the phone and call radio stations in your hometown. Tell them you want to hear the Sons of Liberty on your AM and FM stations. Help us multiply the message that we deliver to the nation every day. And equip your community with the truth that is protecting our liberty for generations to come. Remember, we can do this together.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but gloom and doom from the mainstream media? It's time to turn the dial and start learning the truth of who you are so you know where you're going. That's why we at the Sons of Liberty are proud to introduce our new media outlet, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Every day, we're posting articles written by contributors from coast to coast who are actually in the fight in this culture war, bringing you the news and history the mainstream media does not want you to hear. sonsoflibertymedia.com. Get the news with resolve.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM at sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. We have on the line with us Don Brown. Don, you there, brother?
Right here, Tim. How are you today?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
Doing very, very well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Let me give you an introduction. Don, I got to meet actually last week at the Concerned Veterans for America Defend Freedom Tour over in Charlotte. Got an opportunity to interview him. And I also have many papers that I'm going to write based upon our interview and his new book, which is called Call Sign Extortion 17, The Shootdown of SEAL Team 6. Don is a former lieutenant commander and JAG officer in the U.S. Navy. He's an author of nearly a dozen books and an unashamed disciple of Jesus Christ. He lives and practices law in Charlotte, North Carolina. Don, it's a pleasure to have you, brother.
It's my pleasure, Tim. Hopefully today's discussion will help us move the ball a little bit closer to the truth on this tragic and inexcusable shootdown.
Well, I hope so, too. And just to give people a background who've not heard of Extortion 17, because I've done some interviews myself on various internet radio stations, and when I tell people about Extortion 17, they're like, what is that? You know, tell us about what's going on here. And so I recount the things that I know. But for people who are not aware, following the alleged killing of Osama bin Laden in May of 2011, Vice President Joe Biden had opened his mouth and told the world, basically, who was responsible for the death of Osama bin Laden. That was SEAL Team 6. And we know that within months, that Leon Panetta had also engaged in speaking about that through unsecure means. And then just a few months after that, we find out that these men were shot down. Part of them, their team, SEAL Team 6, was aboard Extortion 17. So do you want to give just sort of a brief overview of what you've done in your book? And then we'll get to a couple of specifics.
Yes. And, Tim, as you point out, unfortunately, It's unfortunate that most Americans have not heard of this shoot down, this tragic loss of life, which occurred on August the 6th, 2011, the date of the anniversary of the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima, about 96 days after Navy SEALs were said to have taken out Osama bin Laden in Operation Neptune Spear in Pakistan. This loss of 30 Americans, which included 17 U.S. Navy SEALs, was the deadliest loss of Americans, the deadliest single loss in the Afghan War, and the deadliest single loss to the much-vaunted SEAL Team 6. And yet, you know, because we are hung up in the pop culture, we hear more about Bruce Jenner and the lady, the black lady who want to be white, or white, whoever she is, white lady who want to be white. We hear about this sort of ridiculous stuff. But one of the things that I wanted to do, there's several things I wanted to accomplish with this book. One, for historical purposes, I felt that there needed to be a book written which chronicled as accurately as possible the history of this mission with the information, the best information that we have or had on hand at the time. So from a historical standpoint, the mission needed to be chronicled so that future generations can look back and understand it, understand what happened, and hopefully learn from whatever mistakes that were made. Second thing that I wanted to do, I had met Billy and Karen Vaughn, and I learned of them through a press conference that they conducted, I believe it was in 2013, in the National Press Club in Washington, and reached out to them, and they provided with me a copy of the official military report, the Colt report, I call it, because it was basically under the supervision of Army Brigadier General at the time, Jeffrey Colt, who investigated this mission in the 5 weeks after the shootdown. So the report somehow was declassified and turned over to a limited number of family members. But frankly, it was very difficult for family members to figure it out because it was jumbled like a puzzle, a scrambled puzzle, and written largely in militaryese. So the Vaughns gave me a copy of the report, and I spent a number of weeks reviewing it and trying to unsort it and decipher it and then determine what happened and make a comparison of what appears to have happened or based upon the official report against what the military's official position was on the shootdown. Military said that, you know, it was one of those things that happened in the fog of war, could not be avoided. But the data in the report itself, which the military gave to the families, then asked back, and now I see why they ask it back, shows otherwise. So that's what I was attempting to accomplish in writing the book, and hopefully it has, it will be helpful, you know, as we continue to dig for the truth as to what all happened in this mission.
Sure. No, and I think at least from the parts that I've read so far, I'm not all the way through it, but the parts I've read so far, you've taken it in very small chunks. So anybody out there who thinks, well, this is going to be boring stuff to kind of get through, you've made it very easy to read. You've taken each section at a time. I think your average chapters are about 5 pages. So you're taking each thing at a time to walk people through exactly what that evidence shows. And I've got the same evidence. I think it was about 600 megabytes worth of data, pictures, and documents that are in there that the average American hasn't been given. But hopefully we're going to, over the next, you know, Lord willing, weeks and months ahead, we're going to be releasing more of that to where people can see it for themselves, doing some articles on it, and of course people can get your book as well. But part of that is to bring out so that people understand that our soldiers are being put in harm's way. One of the things that I want to get to, and well, let's just kick it off right now. We talked about an inside job, and we're not meaning, I'll let you explain what we mean about that. What do you think is the significance of allowing Afghanis to be in control of our special forces operations, because that's what's going on, right?
Well, Tim, one of the things that, as I've spoken here around, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and you and I are almost neighbors. You're across the border, not far from me.
Right.
But at any rate, as I've spoken around several times since this book was released on May the 29th, most people that I've spoken to are absolutely shocked, as was I, to learn that not only have, in the last few years, our special operations forces, like Navy SEALs and U.S. Army Rangers and Delta Force, not only have they been flying with Afghan soldiers and commandos on board and participating in those missions, but also the Afghan government has been given information concerning the details of these missions and, in fact, has had veto power over the missions should they choose to have veto power, all because we have given this to the Afghan government. Now, when we moved into Afghanistan in 2001, of course, we came in with a big stick, totally controlled. We're making, fighting against the Taliban, and then installed this guy named Hamid Karzai as the president. Well, over the years, as you'll see in my book, the deterioration between Karzai and the U.S. deteriorated, partially because we were talking about pulling out of Afghanistan, and Karzai realized that if he were going to survive, he would have to form an alliance with the Taliban. So in the last few years, he, grew closer and closer to the Taliban, was negotiating with them. He was protesting against United States special forces in the region, especially in the eastern region of Afghanistan, the northeastern region near the Pakistani border and near the capital of Kabul. He was protesting in part because back in 2009, President Obama stepped up operations of special forces, special operators, and cut back on conventional operators. So our special operators, meaning mostly SEALs and Rangers, are working overtime. Now, they were devastatingly effective in killing tons and tons of Taliban, but Karzai was pushing back against them. And so you got that component going. You've got a national host government who is now hostile to special operations forces, having all the inside information what they're going to do, number one. And then number two, you have the issue of what we call green-on-blue violence, which is really a separate issue in which you have local Afghanis attacking Americans and attacking coalition forces. And generally that's driven by their, devout dedication to Islam. Not sure that everyone would attack, but we had a number of green-on-blue attacks. Matter of fact, in my book, I point out not only were the highest number of green-on-blue attacks where our forces were getting shot in 2011 and 12, and this chopper went down in 2011, but the retired United States ambassador to first Iraq and then Afghanistan, Mr. Crocker, has spoken over and over again about the increasing problem of green-on-blue, whereas he says it had become easy for the Taliban to infiltrate Afghan forces. So that is the backdrop against the ludicrousy of this policy, if you ask me, of not only having Afghans fly with our forces, but giving the government, their government, specific details on where we're going to fly. And as I point out in the book, the British press basically reported that the Afghan government, sources within the Afghan government, said the Taliban was tipped on this flight. This flight was shot down, Tim, at about 150 feet off the ground as it was approaching this hot zone that night. And the British press reported that the Taliban had been tipped, and they got this information from the Afghans. But
Don, hang that thought for a second. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code Silver2015 for 30% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
A little right, a little left, but always independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a four-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit two per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your four-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
In the U.S. alone, a home invasion occurs every 13 seconds. On top of that, the average response time for 911 is over 15 minutes. That just won't cut it. Don't allow yourself or the important people in your life to be victims. When seconds matter, don't be caught stumbling for your firearm. Get the protection you deserve. Get yourself a hidden holster from HiddenHolster.com. It's the original hidden holster. The hidden holster is quick, easy, and convenient. It's versatile enough for the home, workplace, or virtually anywhere else you might need it. Have peace of mind with your firearm close by at all times. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. If you own a firearm, you need a hidden holster. Your protection matters, and self-defense is the best defense. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. The original hidden holster.
Welcome back. We've got Don Brown on the line, Navy, former Navy JAG, and he's talking about Expression 17 and what's been going on over the past couple of years in Afghanistan. And Don, before we went to break, we do have to cut in like occasionally. But before we went to break, you were talking about the green on blue attacks, and in your book, you cite General John Allen, the former commander of U.S. Force in Afghanistan, a former commander of the Combined International Security Assistance Force.
Right.
Who estimated that 25% of all green-on-blue attacks were carried out by Taliban infiltrators. And something that has, you know, largely been missed in the media concerning what's going on in Afghanistan. I remember back in September of 2012, I did an article where the Taliban was said to have been, you know, limping along, this whole thing we heard about Al-Qaeda, they were on the run and all this. And then all of a sudden up pops this story that America suffered the worst air power loss at the hands of the Taliban in Afghanistan since Vietnam. And that didn't get a lot of airplay anywhere. And we know that with these Taliban infiltrating, those blue and green, those green on blue attacks actually increased over the years. They didn't decrease, isn't that right?
That is correct. They continue to increase. And I've got a section on this, chapter 13 of my book, in which former Ambassador Crocker talks about the increase of those attacks. We suffered. We had an U.S. Army Major General killed in 2014 by an Afghan military policeman who was supposed to be part of the protective unit. And so, yes, they increased. Yes, they escalated. They escalated in part, again, because, you know, the special operators were very, very effective. And so, therefore, the desire to retaliate was high. The support that we were getting really from the Karzai government toward the end was had basically turned on us. And so, yes, it was a very dangerous situation and a very, very foolish situation. I mean, can you imagine if we were in World War II and we're having, enemy forces going out with our forces? And so that's part of the issue here, not being able to really determine. I mean, the ability to infiltrate, Taliban ability to infiltrate is very, very, very troubling. And I'm told that our ability even to vet these Afghanis had gone down over the years, and the ability to vet was virtually non-existent by toward the end. And so when you have, as we point in the book, there were seven Afghans on this chopper. We don't know who they were. You have to wonder what happened. And so that's a policy that needs to be looked at, and it's a very, very foolish policy. And I think it's born in a mythical notion that somehow these folks want us there, and they can be fully trusted. And they don't want us there, and they cannot be fully trusted. So it's sort of used almost like we never learned the lesson from history, Tim. You know, we learned that we should have learned in Vietnam. We cannot send our forces in. If we're going to send our forces in, if it's done correctly, done constitutionally, then don't have them go in with their hands tied behind our back. But the whole alliance here with the Afghans being involved in these missions and being on board, when you look at the green on blue, and we haven't even talked about the rules of engagement yet in this interview, but it's a very dangerous situation from the get go.
Well, we're going to get to the rules of engagement, but you leap off of something that I do want to hit on, and then we'll try to get the rules of engagement in the last segment. And that is these Afghanis. So people need to understand there were about 38 guys on this helicopter.
Right.
Nearly two dozen that were Navy SEALs. I think it was 17 of those guys, 18 of those guys.
17, correct. That's correct.
Yep, who were Navy SEALs. There were some Rangers on board, and there were a couple of National Guard guys, and people need to understand that, too. That's something that's also brought in the book, something I've written on before, is that this particular helicopter was not used in the training of special forces, nor were these National Guard pilots a part of that training either. And that's not to down the National Guard. It's just they're not trained for the particular missions they're on. According to Billy Vaughn, he told me they went from, you know, a dozen or so missions to special forces a month when Obama came on to like over 300 a month. So they were just running these people ragged, really endangering them at the level that they were doing, and then mixing the forces and then embedding Afghanis in there. Now, tell the people about these particular Afghanis that were on board, what little bit we know of them.
Well, here's what we know. First off, we know that there were eight Afghans on board the chopper. One of those was an interpreter. Then there were seven Afghan military who were supposed to be on the chopper because, as I said a moment ago, it was a shocking revelation in looking at the testimony that was included with this report that we are actually flying every mission with Afghans. So seven were supposed to be there. And whenever there's a – I don't know if you've ever flown on a military flight before, but military or civilian flight, there's going to be a flight manifest in which – and especially in the military, which is the roster of who's supposed to be on board. The military has very strict regulations about maintaining the integrity of the manifest so that everybody on board is accounted for. And we know who's on board. There are obvious reasons for that. And the military goes even farther. There must be an accounting of the weapons that are on board. It goes even farther than that. So there are seven names of Afghan soldiers who are supposed to be flying with these 30 Americans. And when the chopper then goes down, the U.S. began – and by the way, the shootdown was announced by Karzai. It was announced by the Afghans before it was announced by us, as an aside. But when the chopper goes down, the military then starts to notify the families of the Afghans that their sons and family members have perished on this flight. They soon find out that the names of the seven Afghans who were on a manifest are not the ones who actually flew that night. In fact, the seven Afghans on a manifest did not fly. They were still alive. Okay? So we don't know the name of the seven Afghans on board the flight. We know that it was left out of the official military report. It looks and smells like cover-up. The official right. military report was completed September the 13th of 2011, signed off on by, authored by General Brigadier General Jeffrey Colt, signed off on by General, four-star Marine Corps General James Mattis, who was CENTCOM at the time. Nothing is mentioned at all about this infiltration. It was discovered, Tim, by happen chance, about a year and 4 months after the official investigation was closed. And here's how it was discovered. Billy and Karen Vaughn, who lost their son, Aaron, who was a Navy SEAL, a chief, in this shoot down, live in Florida, and they had questions about some of the things. Billy was one of the few parents, I think, that actually read through the report, and I can understand why a parent might not want to read it. It's a hard thing. It's a difficult thing to read. You know, you're looking at 1,200 pages, but Billy had stomached and read through it. And so Admiral William McCraven and his senior enlisted staff member, who is a sergeant major in the Army, drove out to Billy and Karen's house in Florida to answer some questions. And they were there for an hour or two. They were quite some time. During the middle of the visit, Billy Vaughn asked Admiral McCraven a question. Billy had found a needle in a haystack. At page 118 of Exhibit 1, there is a series of questions between the deputy investigating officer. And by the way, Tim, names are not given. Names are not given in this report of military officers and enlisted persons testifying, only their rank, et cetera, is given. So the investigating officer, deputy investigating officer, asked the question about the flight manifest. He's asking a question across the table to two witnesses. One is the commander of the Joint Special Operations Task Force, the commander of this mission. The other is the J3. J3 is the acronym we use for operations officer. Now, so the question is asked, tell me about the manifest. And the answer, basically, first of all, J3 speaks up. And when he speaks up, he talks about, and if you'll give me just a second, I'll find the exact language here just a second. He talks about the number of folks who are on a manifest. He says, we basically know the names of all the Americans. In fact, the question comes, and here's what the J3 asks. He says, I'm sure, this is the answering question, by now, you know the manifest was accurate. This is the testimony. With the exception of the Afghan personnel that were on board, he's saying. And then the witness says, so the Afghan personnel, they were incorrect. All seven names were incorrect. He says then, and I cannot talk to the backstory of why. Then he says, but. Now, when the witness says, but, his boss, the commander of the Joint Special Operations Task Force, is sitting beside him. He says, but, he interrupts him, but the bottom line is this. We know the total number on the aircraft. We knew the total number that we were trying to account for on the ground. He cuts him off. There is nothing else said about this truth. This is a significant security breach. It is a needle in a haystack. So Billy Vaughn, at this meeting in Florida in January of 2013, this chopper having gone down in August of 2011, says, Admiral, I read this part in the testimony about we don't know the names of the Afghans, but I guess that's not a very big deal because nothing else was said. That's what Billy says to the Admiral. Now, I've talked to both Billy and Karen about this, and they both say the Admiral sat there for a minute or two and said nothing. And then after a minute or two, that Sergeant Major, senior enlisted guy, God bless him, probably 30 years in the Army. That's pretty high up when you're a Sergeant Major in enlisted right. ranks. He says, he speaks up and he says, actually, Mr. Vaughn, that was a very big deal. That should never have happened. You know, and the Sergeant Major clued the Vaughns in as to this, and we had not been able to get the name. We would never have known it unless the Sergeant Major, God bless him, had the courage to speak up. It is a major league violation of all military aviation protocol to allow unknown persons on board an aircraft. And that happened. We don't know who they are. Military hasn't said to there. And by the way, the bodies of the eight Afghans were flown with the bodies of the 30 Americans to Dover right. Air Base in the United States. We don't know what happened to the bodies.
Yeah, and so there was a question of whether or not different flags draped the wrong coffins. I know some families had brought that up. But you were making mention of the other. You know, you get in the civilian life, and somebody doesn't get on the plane, or somebody gets on the plane, and some people miss it or whatever. But if you do that within the military, that's a criminal violation, right?
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches every day, doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Richard Mass, attorney with Liberty Counsel. Bradley Dean and Sons of Liberty Radio are on the front lines of our culture war, and I am proud to call them brothers in arms. What America needs now is more people telling the truth, regardless of the cost. Bradley is one of those people.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
In the U.S. alone, a home invasion occurs every 13 seconds. On top of that, the average response time for 911 is over 15 minutes. That just won't cut it. Don't allow yourself or the important people in your life to be victims. When seconds matter, don't be caught stumbling for your firearm. Get the protection you deserve. Get yourself a hidden holster from HiddenHolster.com. It's the original hidden holster. The hidden holster is quick, easy, and convenient. It's versatile enough for the home, workplace, or virtually anywhere else you might need it. Have peace of mind with your firearm close by at all times. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. If you own a firearm, you need a hidden holster. Your protection matters, and self-defense is the best defense. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. The original hidden holster.
Did you know some countries are now banning GMO foods? It's true. That's why for quality storable foods, you need ready-made resources. For over 19 years, we've become the name you can trust for thousands of products, like Numana Healthy Food Storage. All Numana storable foods are non-GMO, non-soy, and gluten-free available. Call 800-627-3809 or click ReadyMadeResources.com. Ready-Made Resources. We don't just sell the products, we live it.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Welcome back. Final segment, Sons of Liberty Radio. Don, are you still with me, brother?
I'm still with you, Tim. Very happy to be here.
Okay. I thought maybe I'd lost you there right at the end. You were mentioning the issue of the Afghanis, and we've got just about maybe 10 minutes left. But wanted to move on to the issue of the rules of engagement, because this seems to be the thing, at least in my talks with Billy Vaughn, the father of Aaron Vaughn, who was aboard Extortion 17, this seems to be the thing that really sticks in his craw, and he has brought it up over and over and over. It came up in the congressional hearing that we had, I think it was last year, and that was a pitiful excuse for a hearing because, as we talked about the other night, there was not one really good question that dug at something. So concerning the rules of engagement that not only put in Extortion 17 in danger, but is to this day continuing to put our men and women in uniform in danger. Can you speak to that?
The rules of engagement got these guys killed, in my opinion. The rules of engagement, for your listeners, are the rules under which the United States military can use force to defend itself, basically. The rules of engagement can be different depending on the type of force. For example, nuclear rules of engagement are always with the president. But in the field, we've always been able, in most cases, other than when political foolishness gets involved, our forces have been able to defend themselves against other forces when their lives are in danger. In this case, though, however, as this helicopter approached this very hot zone that we knew had Afghans ready to shoot down the chopper, there were other aircraft in the sky with our aircraft, other American aircraft, including an AC-130 gunship flying overhead that actually saw Taliban moving toward a landing zone. The AC-130 gunship requests permission to take those Taliban out. on numerous occasions and were denied permission to take them out. Deny permission. So the rules of engagement typically under most American military doctrine is that we soften the beachhead before we put troops in. We saw this at Normandy. If you've seen any of the movies, you know, from Private Ryan or the Longest Day or whatever, we bombed the heck out of Gold Beach and Sword Beach and Utah Beach where our guys go in. At Iwo Jima, same thing. Even as recently as the Persian Gulf War, you remember the Great Air War before Operation Desert Storm began. You soften the beachhead. In this case, we're flying this chopper toward this landing zone, knowing that this has been an area which is hot with Taliban, and we don't attack and clear out the landing zone with other aircraft in the sky ahead of time because the rules of engagement prevented it. Had the rules of engagement allowed for these aircraft in the sky with Extortion 17 to clear out that landing zone with machine gun fire and mortar and other weaponry available, they would have been alive today. They would have made it. But these politically correct rules of engagement prohibited it, and it got our guys killed. And that needs to come to the forefront.
Yeah, I think I've heard that over and over and over and over. As a matter of fact, the Avons had written an article back in February of 2014 where they have said that U.S. soldiers are fighting a two-fronted war in Afghanistan due to the fact of Obama's rules of engagement and how he's playing them out. And I'll tell you, there have been stories I've written where there have been many of the soldiers are basically kept in one area to continually go around and around and around it. They have these rules of engagement enforced upon them. It's almost like it makes them sitting ducks.
Yes, that is true. The rules of engagement are engaged in two foolish philosophies, one, political correctness, and two, I think, really, you know, you know, a real, let me put it this way, a real deep concern for the Islamic roots of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore we, you know, our guys are fighting with one hand behind their back, whether it's a soldier in the field or whether it's an aircraft trying to insert a SEAL team into a hot landing zone. I mean, it's almost like that our pilots who are up in the sky with offensive aircraft have to prove almost beyond a reasonable doubt that someone on the ground is enemy force before you can take them out. Well, in this case, this operation took place at 2:22 a.m. That's when this chopper lifted off, 2:30 in the morning local time, in a hot zone where fighting was going on. I mean, who else is going to be on the ground? Can you imagine how foolish you would be, Tim, if at D-Day General Eisenhower said, okay, we're not going to bomb and you know, shell the you-know-what out of the French coastline because there might be some friendly fire. We're just going to
Right. Run
our guys into the buzz of German machine guns. Well, we're doing the same thing now in Afghanistan. We're not going to, unless we can improve it, we don't want to risk any friendly fire or any loss of innocent life, and so our guys are getting killed because of it, and it needs to change. There needs to be a national discussion on it, on this rather than some of the other junk we're talking about.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. The problem is, in a lot of that national discussion, is people get emotional and they don't think clearly. The first is the question of whether or not constitutionally we should be there first. I think that's at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. But even if we are, there are various ways. People have forgotten of Thomas Jefferson's first war on terrorism, which were issued by letters of mark and reprisal, not by sending U.S. military, which there wasn't really for all intents and purposes. There was a Navy. But they used private warships to engage in the battle against the Islamists there in the Barbary Wars. But even now, we've got those kinds of issues. We can't even get to the foundation of what our law is, of the Constitution and how it should function in these areas. And until we do that, I don't think we can get a handle on these other things. Speaking with some of the veterans the other night and asking them about these situations, they find their brothers, you know, fighting and things, and many of them from the Vietnam War area, some of them in the first Iraq War. And they told me, they said, you know, for many of these guys, it's not so much they're thrown into a thing about country. They're thrown into a thing about just watching out for each other's backs. They're just trying to keep each other alive to get through it. And how much more when you have a guy who's supposed to be your commander-in-chief, and I call him the usurper-in-chief because I don't even think he's an American citizen. That's just my thought. I think, why would you hide all of this other stuff? But you've got that guy putting the very ones who put their lives on the line day in and day out, he's putting their lives at risk, and that is just unacceptable for me.
Well, and again, we haven't fought a war since December 1941, in which the Congress has declared it. So there certainly have been numerous discussions on the legality of insertion of troops. Even there have been discussions on the constitutionality of the War Powers Act. All that aside, the local rules of engagement, whether the war is legal or not, you can't insert troops and then have them commit suicide because your rules of engagement are so foolish that they don't have a stand a fighting chance of winning the darn thing, So my book basically is focusing on that. But the rules of engagement are driven from the top down. That's a fact. And so they're set by policy in the Pentagon. We don't know where the buck stops on particular rules of engagement in this case that got these guys killed. We don't know. I'm certain it was a level or two at the very least above the field command level and probably higher than that. But that's one of the questions that needs to be answered. Who set the rules of engagement that did not even allow for pre-suppression fire, which would have saved these guys' lives? And we need answers to those questions.
No, I agree. And now, do you know of anything else that's coming down the pipe as far as what might happen on a federal level? We had the congressional hearing, I believe it was last year. Is there anything in the works? Because, again, we had a discussion about that the other night. It doesn't seem like we're getting anything out of Washington regarding this particular incident.
I believe, and it's my belief, Tim, that the Pentagon wants this over and that I'm not aware of any immediate plans for further investigation, but this needs to happen. And I would encourage all of your listeners to call the U.S. Capitol switchboard at 202-224-3121 and ask that both the House and the Senate reopen this investigation to answer a number of the questions that are actually in my book. One of the things I'm doing in my book is to ask, some of the questions that need to be asked that haven't been asked. You talked about the congressional hearing in February of 2014. No real serious questions were asked at all in that hearing.
Sure.
And we're not any closer to where we hope to be in getting answers. I mean, I think that the desire would be to sweep this under the rug, and if this thing gets swept under the rug, these guys will have died in vain. We can't let that happen.
Sure, yeah. And speaking of that, as far as no questions, real questions being asked, there were a lot of lies that were put forth by people who weren't even in office at the time that this the shooting down of Extortion 17 took place. And so, in essence, we came out with more questions than we did get answers from.
Well,
that.
The particular hearing, first of all, there were five representatives of the military to answer questions from Congressman Jacob Chaffetz's Subcommittee on National Security, part of the House Oversight Committee. Five. One was a political appointee named Gary Reed. The second was a civilian in charge of the Pentagon Mortuary Affairs. And the only three military officers were the head of Mortuary Affairs for the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. So we had four funeral experts testifying and a political appointee, not a single person who had been on the ground, not a single serious question about the rules of engagement, no question about what happened to the bodies.
Don, we're having to go off. We're having to cut off, but thank you for joining us and sharing the information. Pick up Don's book, The Call Sign Extortion 17, The Shoot Down of SEAL Team 6, and we'll talk to you in 23.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it, brother. You bet.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Good people need help. The Homeowners Association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.